The MLB got a female coach. Listen to yourself. What the hell is the MLB doing a female coach? Times are changing. You know, it's always been said that a woman and a man just goes out and proves the theory wrong. When it comes to construction, a woman can't do construction, that's a man's job. And a woman was like, nah, we didn't prove that wrong. Oh, a woman can't be CEO, that's a man's thing. Women went out and proved that wrong. It seems an engineer, being an engineer, that's a man's thing. Women went out and proved that wrong. You just stop saying, oh, a woman can't do what a man can do, and then put it to the gum in the face. Let's get back into the story, though. It says Lisa was hard at work in the batting cage just a few steps from the dugout. But some call came. The San Francisco Giants needed her to go at first base. She quickly pulled off her sweatshirt, number 92 jersey, and found bright batting helmet. A few minutes later, Nikki May made history as the first woman to coach for the season game when she took her spot Tuesday night in the 13th win of the San Diego Padres. I think we're all inspirations doing that we do on a day-to-day basis, and I think, yes, carries a little bit more weight because of visibility. I see there's a historical nature to it, she said. Again, this is my job. Megan came to coach first base Giants after Antoine Richardson was ejected. When she was announced Richardson's replacement, Megan gave a warm warm ovation from the crowd at Oracle Park and a congratulatory handshake from Padres first baseman Eric Cartman. Right now, in this moment, as I reflect back, I reflect back to somebody who needed help. We needed a coach to coach first base. Our first base coach got thrown out. I've been training as a first base coach for the last few years and worked alongside Antoine. So I stepped into what I've been hired to do in this staff and this team, Megan said. The baseball Hall of Fame was 32. Her helmet is already on its way to the shrine in Cooperstown, New York. San Francisco manager Steve Kapler and said Megan had prepared for this moment while working with Richardson and others. So it's not a boring spot on the field. She does so many other things that aren't seen that. So it's nice to see her kind of be right in the spot and do it on the field. Richardson, who is black, saw reporters ejection sent on exchange with Dodgers star base coach Mike Schilt, who he accused of yelling and expletives that leaked undertones of racism. Wow. Despite feeling his reaction was unwarranted, which is crazy, Nikki, and said, very proud of you. I'm really excited that Alyssa got the opportunity to make her major league. And I'm very proud of her. But just since that, I think she did a really wonderful job of winning that win, so that's the most important thing. Megan is a coach who works heavily with baseball and outdoor sense. She watches games from an indoor It keeps a giant jersey nearby just in case she needs it. And in an instant, Susan said she needed it. They get the job onto the field 4 days later. Rachel Balcoe became the first woman to manage a minor league of the Major League Baseball team. She guided the New York Yankees classy Tampa club to a win in her first game. Well, go ahead, bless you. So not only are we congratulating Alyssa, we're congratulating Rachel as well. Congratulations, Rachel. Nikki had previously coached the position in spring training and during part of the July 26th game at Oakland against now Padres manager Bob Melvin, when he was skipper of the athletes. She started at first again a night later against the A's San Francisco team, prepared for the pandemic delayed season. She said, "Since applied to be there," Nakin said at the time. "Me personally, it's the best to watch again. That's for sure." The former Sacramento State softball star became the first woman to coach in the big leagues when she was hired for cap staff in January 2020. At Sacramento State from 2009 to 2012, Nakin was a three-time all-conference player at first base, four-time academic all-American. She went on to earn a master's degree in sports management from the University of San Francisco in 2015 after interning with the Baseball Operations Department a year earlier. Day one with Giants, Nakin embraced her role as an example for girls and women. "It's a big deal," she said. "I feel great sense of responsibility, and I feel it's my job to honor those who have helped me to where I am." Congratulations, Rachel. We got women in MLB. We got women in NFL. Not as head coaches, but they in, you know, and I think we got women in the NBA. I think we got women in the NBA as refs. I don't know about, like, coaching and stuff like that, but I know we do got women referees in the sports. And usually in the male side of the sports, you see female referees in the outside of the sport, you know what I'm saying? So yeah, that's a big deal. That is a big deal. To me, that is a big deal. I know young girls who read that article are gonna be like, you know what? I want to get into sports. We have a WNBA, right? And I said, what about a WNFL? There are women leagues of football. Like they have the lingerie league. Nah. I want a WNFL. A women's national football league. And they play the same type of football as the men do. Yep. That's what I want to see. We got to see it. But I'm like, you know, going to college, they don't have a female football team in college. So, you know, football is something you would want to play as a female. They don't have those type of teams. I remember the episode of the Cosby Show, and she joined the Pee Wee League football team in her area. And they gave her the nickname Sweetie, because that's good she was, you know, in the field. And I mean, it's a TV show, so they're going to make it that she's good. But just think, all the Pee Wee football leagues that could be, you know, the little girls that wanted to play wouldn't make it to the NFL. We know that, or be able to play football during high school, college, and, you know, make it to the NFL. But just have the opportunity to play the sport that you love, to me, is a good thing, especially as a little girl. Like, when I put my sport that I love in the ring, football is number one. Football is number one. I would say football is number one. I think, I don't know if it's like baseball and basketball. I don't know. I say football will be number one. For me, what else? Track and field. That's, it's a sport. Like, you would think, because when I was younger, I was a runner, that you would think I would choose the sport at number one. Nope. So I would say, for me, track and field, I probably got track and field second. No, I'm going to do track and field second. Okay, it's going to be football, or basketball, track and field. I like volleyball. Well, we only have like a national volleyball team. We only have the volleyball team is when you only see volleyball teams, you know, during the Olympics. You know what I'm saying? At volleyball before, you can take it up in high school, college. And elementary, they don't really have volleyball, they do basketball. Elementary, like, they would do basketball, football. They ain't not going to. And these are sports you go when you go to college. You get to learn that sport. Football, football. Yes, you know, in most home people's, you know, states that they live in, do have the Pee Wee League. But in these Pee Wee Leagues, you normally don't see girls playing football because of how, I guess you could say, tough the sport is. And, you know, little girls got, you know, we as women, we got, you know, guys and men really have breasts. So it's like, so they get hit in the breast, say, I heard it. See, but if they had a WNFL, like you got, New York has two teams, so let's just say they did have a WNFL. We don't need two female New York teams just because you got, but if you think about it, we have three New York teams, because Buffalo's part of New York, even though it's part of the state of New York. Part of New York. So New York has three football teams. We got Buffalo, Jets, and Giants. Only three football teams. I think what they do is, because we got 32 teams, so they got 32 football teams, and they're going to coincide with the men's team. So Buffalo would have a team. Jets and Giants will have a female team. the all 32 teams that have a 32 female team. But just think though, that as a female, you're that good in the sport, even though it's a WNFL, that you're so good that the NFL wants to take you, bring you to the If that was to ever happen, Lord have mercy. But see, but then, like I said, how tough the sport is, that would never happen. And if they do, if the NFL did pick them, I think they would pick a punt kicker. The woman as a punt kicker. Because as much as these big dudes that play football get hurt, they don't want to, you know, hurt no female. And then you got to think about it. Guys share the locker room. They got a female on the team that leave the locker room just so she can get dressed. Then they can get dressed. You know what I'm saying? Dressed or undressed. When you think about it. But like I said, if they had a WNF, I think it would be dope. And they would have, you know, the pro, they would have their own Pro Bowl for the women because they're not going to mix them with them. And then, you know, that's how, you know, dope it is. That's how dope I think. And then, but see, the thing is, then they would have to start recruiting at the high school level. It's like do basketball and football, they recruit, check you out at high school level, see what you're doing at college level. But remember, in high school, there's no female football team nor in college. And like I said, if they was to have a woman in there, she would be the punt kicker because they don't want to get hurt. The only time you punt in a game is when they need you to kick a field goal. The punt is important, but just like with wrestling, you know, it was a man's sport, and then they started having women. You got gorgeous ladies in wrestling. You know what I'm saying? And the WWF, which now is turning into the WWE, is now letting women in the sport. They're letting women in the sport. Which is a good thing. So we're gonna keep this show going, and now that's it. Congratulations to Rachel, Alyssa, and here we go. So here's another sport. Here we're going with another sports story. It says Amisha Williams-Holly becomes the first HBCU player drafted into the WNBA in the past 20 years. And this is congrats to her, but this is sad. And the reason why it's sad is because Deion Sanders talked about this. He coaches HBCU team, and he said for the scouts to check out his players, and only a handful showed up. So I know how HBCU colleges feel. They're not sending scouts over there because when you're watching a football game, college game, these well-known colleges, like Alabama, Ohio State, Michigan, Michigan State. But I use the well-known colleges. Even though ACCs are well-known in their own right, NFL scouts and for HBCU products. And it hurts my heart that, you know, you this is the college you decide to go to, and you're playing the sport that you love, but the scouts have to check you out because you're HBCU. And the NFL, the NBA, any MLB, any sports teams that we got out there, great players, because you're not picking students from HBCUs to be drafted. Right? So, and Deion Sanders coaches for Jackson State. Like he said, a handful showed up. And he had other schools come. And then another school said they're going to do one. And they're going to make sure they invite other schools. And, you know, but let me get back into this story right here. Right, now that's her name is Amisha Williams Holiday. That's her name. It says the 6'4" in senior from Gulfport, Mississippi, selected in the third round, 25th overall by the Indiana Fever on Monday night. She is second highest drafted HBCU player in league history. Honored. A dream come true and a blessing to be able to be a part of history, to be able to open doors for our HBCU community, Williams Holiday said in a statement. Being a trailblazer feels amazing, but there is so much more to accomplish. You are so right. Amisha, you are so right. Because I'm grateful for the opportunity to continue my career on the next. And most importantly, to continue to be a great example for my son, Jason, my younger siblings, or kids in my community, she continued. Every HBCU athlete to never lose hope and to know anything is possible. An accomplished collegiate player, William Holiday, was a three-time first-team All-SWAC selection 2020-2022, a three-time league defensive player of the year 2020-2021-2022, and in 2022 became the first SWAC player since 2019 to win both SWAC player of the year and defensive player of the year honors in the same season. For her career, Williams Holiday averaged 16.1 points, 11.2 rebounds, and 2.9 blocks per game. Since the WNBA's founding in 1996, only 5 players from HBCU have ever been drafted into the league. Steve Graves from Howard University was drafted in 1996. In 1998, Karen Wilkins from Howard University was also drafted in the league. And in 2020, Andrew Gardner from Howard University, Amber Congolo from North Carolina Central University, and Jacqueline Winfield from Southern University in A&M College were among the AU drafts. So congrats to her to being drafted to the Indiana Fever. May you have a great season when you start rocking with the Fever. But my girls is going to win, going to beat y'all. My team is New York Liberty, and I like Sparks. So, my team is going to beat y'all. So, I might get some wins in. You may get some wins in, but my team is going to beat y'all. So, I'm going to share this here. So, I'm glad you're still, Misha. So, this is what I want to share this next. It says, frustrated JetBlue passengers begged crew members to get off airplane after several attempts to land at JFK NYC. So, JetBlue was trying to land in JFK, and the passengers in the anthem bar let me off. You trying to die? You trying to say yes out to an early grave and you don't have to? And the headed to John F. Kennedy Airport in New York City was rerouted to Newark Airport nearby New Jersey after the crew made several attempts to land aircraft due to inclement weather. So it's the weather. The weather is from landing in UK. That's why you had to land somewhere else. Damn. Newark ain't that far. I didn't take that long. You gotta get to Newark. It says passengers scared and exhausted from having to be in air, and the video shows the panic and anguish they faced on the according to the New York Post, passengers on a jet flight last Friday was seen on video, pleading with the crew to allow them to get the plane. The frustration of several passengers was evident as two men advocated to get off the craft, as maybe two JetBlue personnel. Other passengers joined in complaining about staying aboard the plane. The plane had gone into Newark to wait for the weather at JFK to clear, so the plane came back to the airport. One passenger wanted to get off the airplane so bad that he told crew members that they could arrest him if need be. He told her, "I'm not going back in the air." The crew members tell him that the travelers made it safe to land. Another Mr. Jackson tells him that his kids are panicking. "My kids are panicking," the man says. "We gotta get off this plane. It's dangerous. We tried to land 4 times already. We're scared to fly. We won't get off. I don't want to go to jail, but it's not right." In an email sent to the Post, JetBlue spokesperson Derek Dombrowski stated that flight 1852 diverted to New International Airport due to weather at JFK. "Without customers being available for the flight, I knew if the aircraft remained on the ground for 60 minutes and once the weather cleared, the order again for JFK would safely landed." Despite the complaints from the passengers, JetBlue reportedly only offered passengers $50 and $5 for the convenience. So, the people on the plane, $50 in-flight credit for the inconvenience. "We was flying around trying to land because of the weather. You couldn't land. And you tried 4 times, and you couldn't land, so they sent you to Newark. And when you got to Newark, you couldn't get out. And you had to wait 60 minutes on the... You had to wait 60 minutes in Newark until you were able to in the air to go to JFK. Now, I wouldn't have a problem. I don't think I would panic like the people on the plane. But shit, if they were to say, okay, you gotta let them off at Newark, we can't. There's no way we can get them. Shit, I live in Jersey. I'm happy with that. Off at Newark, I'd be happy with that because I live in Jersey. And if I didn't have a lot of bags, if I had no bags under the plane and they let me off, I'd get money. Because now, whoever's picking us up from the airport don't got to go to JFK. They can go to Newark and pick us up to Newark. So I would be happy with that. Those that live in New York, I get it. Because from where I live in Jersey to New York, it's a $5 cab ride. So, and just imagine if you took Uber from the airport to New York, that's going to be $100-something, I tell you. Yep, and I know people don't want to pay that, but that's what it would have, that got let out in Newark, that would have been their fare ride. $100-something in the Uber. Just think for those people who park their cars at the airport when they go on a trip, leave their car at the airport. So now you got Uber from Newark Airport to JFK to get your car out the damn parking lot. You know, for they intervened, all they got was an in-flight credit, not even $50 credit from their ticket. No, an in-flight credit meaning that you can use that to buy, like, because, you know, in-flight stuff, you got food, you got alcohol. You can use that $50 credit for that. Here's another, you know, this is a feel-good story. I love these feel-good stories. It says, okay. Because black father finally got complete custody of his daughter after she was adopted secretly. And I think I shared this on Wednesday's show, but I'm going to share it again because, you know, it's new people. It says, these days a father's name, Christopher Emmanuel, is getting popular over the internet after his daughter got adopted secretly without his consent. But now he finally got full custody of his daughter after intense battle in court. This is the story of a father who fights to get custody of his daughter who was adopted secretly by his white girlfriend without informing him. Christopher Emmanuel is with a white girl. When his girl got pregnant, her family did not approve of their marriage. Since Chris is aware that he is about to be a father, this is why he enrolled himself in responsible for the registry on February 4th, 2014. Invisible fatherhood registry is an organization for all the fathers who take care of their children without being married. So wait a minute. Now, this line right here by the person who wrote the story said, when his girlfriend, her family did not approve of their marriage. But why would he join, if he's married to her, why would he join a program for fathers who are not married? That don't make sense. That right there don't make sense. Nobody be proofing what these journalists be writing. Nobody proofreads it. Y'all just let them hear the story and then you put it in the paper or online. How you join a program for men men who are fathers are not married, but the article says you and your girlfriend are married. That don't make sense. They were married. The judge said, we need to hear, like, they would have said, well, since you're married, we need your husband's signature to go along with the adoption. Keep reading. His information, his white girlfriend and her family get a newborn baby daughter, Skylar, up for adoption for purpose. After this, in 2014, Christopher filed a case against his white girlfriend and her family to put his daughter adoption without his approval and consent. They did not even inform him about the adoption of his daughter. A family from San Diego, Dr. Skylar, though the doctor's family was from a different state, as per the law of South Carolina, they were allowed to adopt a biracial baby. And hurt from this, fought his battle and pleaded to get them kids. He even pleaded to adopt his daughter back, as he lost all the hope to see his daughter again. But after 1 year, the dispute came to an end, and the judge declared that his girlfriend terminated his parental right. After this, the court found him complete custody of his daughter, Scott. Now, Christopher Emanuel is helping other children and some of the conditions, helping them to get their parental rights. He recently lost a campaign named Kickstarter, which targets ending the adoption trafficking in the United States. She's wrong for that. Right. Girlfriend is wrong for that. And I get it that you dating someone and their family can either be, well, to me, their family seems to be racist. But in some cases, you know, we get it. So parents want their children to date women and men of the same race as them. But it doesn't always happen that way. I've never dated a white person. Never. But I've dated black men of different nationalities. But I've never dated a white person. An Asian, you know what I'm saying? But you can't be mad at who a person loves. If your white daughter or your son is with a black person, you can't be mad at that. As the parent, even though you feel that you ain't racist, you have to accept it. Now you say to yourself, well, my white daughter's going to have half black children. I don't want my bloodline to have black children. Your bloodline does have. And, which I don't understand. A lot of y'all, a percentage, a little percentage of black in y'all. But like I said, when I first did this on Wednesday, I was like, congrats to him. It sucks to be a father and to have you, and no fault of your own, that your rights as a parent is taken away. Because, so that, and this is what I said, someone and her family signed those papers. His name on those papers. But for her to be adopted, because they're going to when it comes to adoption, there are forms that need to be filled out, right? There are forms that need to be filled out, right? It's going to have his name and the ask who's the father, the ask for the father's name and all his information, right? And it has to put that information. And Ava's going to say that whatever the mother's name is, give it my parental rights to my child. And to say the same thing, I, or whatever the father's name is, give up my parental rights to the child. And someone, not him, and that's why, but I'm not saying kids should be adopted, right? These kids are okay and all have to be adopted. And even if you come across a woman who doesn't want pregnant but don't want children, and she's going to for adoption. For all the people who's trying to adopt, this is what I need for y'all to do. Right? I need to ask pertinent questions. One is, is father to this child in your life? Do you know about trying to adopt his child? Does he know that you're trying to put his child up for adoption? And is he willing to give up paternal rights? Those people who are trying to adopt need to ask questions, because you get stories where the men want to be in their kids' life, but these women don't want them. So this is the easy way to be with his child, to put the child up for adoption, and then have bodies sign the father's name, saying that he gave up his paternal rights. He never did that. You gotta ask those questions. And in these cases, there's exchanging hands on the adoption. Well, and then it got me to thinking, like, you don't hate this man, you hate this man much, that you will falsify documents with his signature. Just so he don't have part in his child. You know what I'm saying? That's crazy. To me, that's crazy. Crazy to me. That is crazy to me. What else do I want to share with y'all? I share all the stories I've had. Here's something I want to share. Here's one. I don't know if I've ever shared this before with y'all. It says, BST will give a quick response to love because the other person did something we didn't like, so we still want to be with that person. Think before you end the relationship. You will regret it in the end. All problems in a relationship are fixable, and both parties want to work at it. Don't let love slip away. That person is the one. Now, and I wrote this March of 2013. Right? And just think about it. How many times that you come across an ex and said to yourself, he or she was the one that got away? Or how many times, well, how about this? And then at the time that you see them, you want to renew your relationship, and then you realize, oh, they married or in a relationship, so that's not going to work. You know how many people who were in relationships with each other, something happened that broke up, and a year down the line, they wound up back together? There are married couples who get divorced and wind up back with each other. There are men who have said, like, this person was the one that got away, and the reason why, because of my stupidity or the fuck shit I did, walk away. I wish I would have treated her better. She would have been in my life. There are men and women who are saying the same, that there's something that they did that messed up the relationship. They wish they did it, but at the time that they did it, it was like, it's too late. You do have men and women trying to rekindle old relationships. And, you know, they might person and say, you know what, I'm sorry, I heard I called you when we were dating. And the person accepts the apology, but they don't get back with them. They realize that they were the one that got away. I said, guys I used to mess with, that, you know how, like, a person you mess with could be in a relationship, but you and that person, even though we're not married, y'all stuck with each other, and it's like, it's new to get other, it's like, even though you and ex, with him, that y'all still communicate, and I've always said this, I said, if I wanted them in any kind of way, I could send them if I wanted them. And it, when you think about it, if it's on a certain level, I could have them again. If it's a relationship, if it's like trying to rebuild a relationship again, no. For me, I think it's more a sexual thing than really build a relationship. So you always got that one that the sex is good, and you miss that. That's the only thing about that is nothing else but that. For those who've been successful for a long time, that's something to think about. You know what I mean? Read it again. It says, we ask people to give up quickly when it comes to love because the other person did something we didn't like and didn't know we still want to be with that person. Think before you end the relationship. You will regret it in the end. Problems in the relationship are fixable if both parties want to work at it. Don't let love slip away if the person is the one. Especially if you're married, you can go to counseling, but you know some don't believe in going to counseling because we as black people don't go telling our problems to a stranger. And this is why we have as we do in the black community. Because instead of going to a therapist to help work out our problems, we listen to family members and their advice, which ain't really advice. Most of the time, it's not the best. So if you're in a relationship with someone, you know you're messing up, change your behavior for the better, and you would see your relationship getting better. If you keep fucking up, then you're going to lose something. That's who fail is the one. So being that, I really have no more to talk to y'all about. I usually have a lot of stuff to talk about, but you know, I really have a lot usually, but nope, not this time. So before I'm gonna end a little bit early today. But I want to share something with y'all. So, for those who are thinking of giving up, don't give up. When it comes to your dreams, don't give up. I know you're working a 9-to-5, but you have to pay your bills. You can make your dreams reality. You can make your dream a side hustle. Keep your 9-to-5, right? Because you need to pay your bills. And yes, you can make your dreams your side hustle. If you are a person saying, you know what, I've always wanted to be a rapper, I'm not that good at it, but I still want to be a rapper, this is what you do. Keep practicing. Be a rapper. Keep practicing, you know, until you know what I'm saying? Keep practicing. Same thing. You want to be a producer? Keep practicing. You want to be a DJ? Keep practicing. Don't stop. If you mess up, don't get frustrated. Just redo. Refocus your mind. Redo it. And eventually, your skills will get better. And for those who want to be entrepreneurs and starting their own business, don't deter yourself from doing that because someone else already has a business that you want to start. You can do the same thing as them. You just got to stand out. You got to stand out so that people will want to come to your business than theirs. Like, there's a million photographers out there. You, as a photographer, do something different that other photographers are not doing. They're doing, but do it better. Clothing line. You say everybody got a clothing line. There's no point in starting a clothing line. Everybody got a clothing line. You can do a clothing line. Just make yours stand out than us. Like, I just did the hoodie and the t-shirt. And I called it the Uniquely Beautiful Collection because it says, I was born uniquely beautiful with Black Girl Magic. And this is something that will boost the self-esteem of young girls and young women. A lot of them get picked on because of how they look. They get told they're ugly. Now, when we say uniquely, when you say unique, that means there's only one you. There's no one else like you. So that's why I went with uniquely beautiful. You know, everybody's beautiful in their own right. Like, a person could say she's ugly. Someone else to see her as beautiful. Like, a guy can say a girl is ugly, but another guy can see her as beautiful. So, that's one person's opinion of how you look. You understand? That's one person's opinion. When you think about one person's opinion. So, being that it's one person's opinion, it's not like 10,000 men saying, oh, she ugly. There's always to be someone to say, yeah, then that not that type. There's going to be one that says you are. Why not that one that says you are and not part of them that say you aren't? So we're going to end this show. I'm going to end with a song, but I'm going to get my spiel first before I end with a song. I'm sorry for the quietness. I'm looking at the thing. And it's like, show ended. I'm like, what do you mean episode ended? I'm like, I said it for 2 hours. We only did an hour. You know, being on Blog Talk, you know, sometimes there's mishaps while doing the damn show. And it pisses me off sometimes. But then I'm like, I'm just going to keep going through with the show. Just like, I think it was 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago, I did a 6 and Road. And I'm like, I'm busy talking to y'all. And I'm like, okay. When I called in, I heard that, you know, when you call in early to the board, you get the elevator music. And when I called to my board, I got the elevator music. And I didn't hear myself talking. All the music, I played the song, I hear the song playing, so I'm like, what's going on? And then when I complained, they said, oh, we didn't get any complaints that it was messed up. Because everybody's on a different server, so everybody's server would be messed up. So... yeah. So, I'll be back at 11 p.m. Saturday night music. Give you nothing but the best in any music. I don't know how I'm going to flow with the music, but it's going to be great. And you know that Roll the Starter and Black Starter Foundation has the initiative, the Stop the Violence initiative. Ceasefire. We have the t-shirt. It says Ceasefire My Life. And I want to know what I want to... Oh, dang it. There was a story through Instagram. Before I go, I want to share on that story. I shared it through Instagram. I saved it through Instagram. Talk about, and it's going with the initiative that I was thinking of right now. And the t-shirt says Ceasefire My Life Matters. Also with the initiative is a mixtape, the track mixtape, the various artists on it from different genres, but all the songs will be a Divine song. And every song is going to be a Stop the Violence song. And, doesn't matter what genre you're in, it just has to be a Stop the Violence song. And dang it. I'm trying. Yeah, I can't. gosh, it's not in my Instagram. But it was a story of, so it was a people that was two injured and one injury dead. So, young girl, you know, left school, walking home. These fools, the standing by a bodega, happened in New York, in the, and these fools are standing, this fool, I won't say fool, this fool was standing by a bodega. Pulls out his weapon, because he's someone he's with, and starts shooting, called a ghost gun. Something like that, a ghost gun. Now, I thought I saved the story through my Instagram, but I know I've seen it. I'm trying to remember basically, this fool is shooting across the street at someone. The gun, I think it's called a ghost gun. The boy he shot misses the target and travels and hits this little girl, innocent girl, as she's walking home from school. The same bullet pierces through her lung, somebody else. They definitely killed the girl and another person. So it hit three people. One family killed her. They got her to the hospital. She comes to her injury. And this fool pulls a gun out in public to shoot someone he got beef with. End up killing someone. It was called ghost gun. And it's an illegal firearm at that. I'm trying to remember the story as much as I can remember, because I don't remember the girl's name. Happened in New York City in the Bronx. I'm trying to remember it, but yeah. One I to share. Yeah, I forgot to share with y'all, so I'll get back into the spiel in a minute. So this influencer, I'm gonna let the video speak for itself.
In pain, Courtney, but then took her to the hospital because she tried to kill herself if she didn't. Courtney claimed mental illness and then was by Miami football. Don't know where Courtney is, which is scary as fuck when you live in Miami. She used her life to save herself from any consequences for literally murdering a black man in cold blood. Now, before you say anything about the offense, some of Courtney's friends said in interviews that Courtney constantly abused her boyfriend and he did anything to defend himself. You don't understand how bad this is. There's nothing that this country values more than white tears. Follow this page on Instagram for more info. A few days ago, white social media influencer Courtney Taylor Quinney stabbed her black boyfriend to death in their Miami apartment. Out of self-defense, she straight up stabbed this brother until he was a lifeless corpse. And when the police arrived, they detained Courtney. Took her to the hospital because she tried to kill herself if she didn't. Courtney claimed mental illness and then was released by Miami police. And now we don't know where Courtney is, which is scary as fuck when you live in Miami. She used her white pants to save herself from any consequence for literally murdering a black man in cold blood. Now, before you say anything about self-defense, some of Courtney's best friends said in interviews that Courtney constantly beats her boyfriend, and he never did anything to defend himself. You don't understand how bad this is, y'all. You know, this country values more than white tears. All of this fake.
Okay. Yeah, let's talk about this story. And I saw a lot of posts on this through TikTok. And there were black men saying, why not black women, you know, advocating for this guy? And a few of them did videos saying, one girl said she was about to advocate for him, but she found out. This dude, while dating his wife, was bashing black women, saying he hates black women, saying all this negative stuff, all this hateful stuff about black women. And this fool came, this dude came from, I won't say, this dude came from one. It was like all the black women who I've seen talk about this story said, no, we're not jumping in, we're not helping. He made the decision to date this white woman, and while dating this white woman, he was, you know, degrading the black woman. No, we're sorry that he was murdered, but we're not jumping in the fight. We're not jumping in the fight. And then I saw a video with someone, and her friend said to her, like, you know what you did, you know, you, like, she was wrong for what she did. Let me say something to you black men. We as black women don't care who you want to date. The thing is that you don't have to degrade us because a white woman or a woman of another race is your preference. You don't have to put us down in the process while you're telling us who your preference is. Because we don't care who you date. We don't. And, like, you're putting us down, but one of these days, like the same goes, one of these days you're going to, you know what I'm saying, when somebody's putting you down or whatever, and they say, one of these days you won't need me. And he's, even though he's dead, this is that day. Because all the black women stand up for his man when he was the greatest and all that stuff. If you put his name in, Twitter, you will see all the tweets. All the tweets degraded that. Like, condolences go out to the family, but we're not jumping in. We are not. Back to the spiel. All my y'all said they want the music to play right here in the station. All y'all do is hit me up. The road to starting. All y'all do is hit me up at roadtostardom.net or 201-399-2014. And I'll tell you how to get the music played. Yep. If you miss a show by World of Star Radio, all you gotta do is blogtoradio.com/World of Stardom. The next remote to business show on the 20th at 9 p.m. Standard Time is with you, the entrepreneur, the business owner, artist, anyone with something to promote. Come to 347-202-318. That's 347-202-318. And if you like, make a donation to the station to help people by going to PayPal.me/RoseStar. Go to Cash App or $ROseStar. Venmo at RoseStar. ZellersRoseStar2010@gmail.com. Amount is too big or too small. Any amount you wish to donate is much appreciated. So we got initiative going on. This is our t-shirts where you can get at GoForever.com as well as RoseStarMerch.com. And the money raised for the t-shirt for the Black Oak Forever Foundation. Any item you see in the Black Oak Forever store any item in the Black Oak Forever to help the Black Oak Forever Foundation. So if it's an item, it goes to the Black Oak Forever Foundation and is much appreciated. The mixtape, all you gotta do is send people to 2010@gmail.com. That is a biopic, the name of the song, artist name. Yep. Song must be MP3 format and must be a Stop the Violence song. If you have a Stop the Violence song in your country, artist, it's a song that features a mixer where we play it on the radio. That's why we say it's in MP3 format. Yes, like I said, as much as yeah, lost my train of thought. I'm sorry, y'all would have sent the info for the next second. I lost my train of thought because I was looking at something. What else? This is what I need to tell y'all before I'm out of here. We'll be back next Saturday with another 6 and Road. More great topics. Discussions going on. So I'm going to say peace on the future. Keep rocking with your girl and we'll just start on the radio. If you have any suggestions or want to give your opinions about shows that we do on we'll just start on the radio, if we need to. Anything you always send your messages to RoseStar2010@gmail.com. I want to say peace, one love, I appreciate you. And we're going to end it with a song, and the song we're going to end with is. We're going to end with Titus. And the song is called Push. Praying so something happens.
Uh-huh. Okay. Just for everyone who need that. That little push. Pray until something happens. Please push. Pray until something happens. Just push. I gotta push. I've been holding for too long, trying to make sense of what's right and what's wrong. Had to make it through some struggles, even writing a song. My grandma's noticed some stress, told me brighten my tone. So I clear some clouds, feeling right in my zone. But now she fighting health issues, maybe losing her home. It's hard, cause nowadays she barely talk on the phone. Meanwhile, God calling her home, she's so strong, gotta push.
Please don't leave me now. Show me how. In your life I walk for miles. Please don't leave me now.
everyone for themselves. Let's speak about brutality. You're laying in a cell. Police having a field day on your fears and it's felt. Send SOS upstairs if you're cleaning your slate. No, you questioning your faith, but he don't make no mistakes. Just asking for your thoughts, maybe give him the weight. Pass your story off to someone else who's needing a break. No, you asking how can I give advice and I ain't perfect. Seen so many live in life with no purpose. It ain't hard to add common sense, so worth it. But no day is certain, so until they close the curtains, I'ma push. Pass it to the hustlers, the veterans. Sneak on broadcast, perform on day letterman. Push every soul right in every state we in. On judgment day, I hope that they let me in. Let me push.
Please don't leave me now.